basic instructions before leaving Earth. This is Bible Radio, the internet radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, St. Paul in Minnesota. And this is Sunday Morning Live. Calvary Chapel, St. Paul is a non-denominational church dedicated to the teaching and living out of God's Word. And now, Sunday Morning Live.
All right, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Buenos dias. Muy bien. Muy bien. Very good. Very good. Yeah. All right. So today we are doing our annual Home Fellowship Leaders summary of Home Fellowship that we do every year. It's the starting of the season of Home Fellowship. So we'll start off and I'll do a little bit, and then we got the other three coming up after me. So, all right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, just pray for just the today, the flow, and Lord, that you can only plan so much. It's all in your hands, Lord. And Lord, we just give you this time and pray that that you'd be glorified and that people would be encouraged and built up in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I'm tasked with the technical parts of Home Fellowship. So Home Fellowship is something that we're planning to grow the church by. So it is the place where people can meet and gather and get to know each other, and then also to apply the things that they were taught or the things that they picked up from the previous Sunday's message, whatever that is, right? So, but first off, I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Ed Carl. I've been here for a while, and a lot of people know me already. But I'm pretty easygoing, and in regards to Home Fellowship, our Home Fellowship will meet Friday, so it'll start this Friday coming up, and we'll be meeting at Bob's. So. You can come and talk to me if you're interested in joining our Home Fellowship on Friday. So I have a few spots that are still available, but it's filling up pretty quick. And anyway, so I've been walking with the Lord since it's been a few years in the 80s. Yeah, it's like is when I 1980s is when I got saved and just reading the Word. And anyway, the thing is that Home Fellowship is a place where we get to know each other, right? We are the family of God, and this place is just a place. The house of God is us, we the people, right? With God dwelling in us. And the fact is that oftentimes in Scripture, there's a few places that I've listed out in Romans 16:5, 1 Corinthians 16:19, Colossians 4:15. I'll just read that one just so you get an idea. It says, greet the brethren who are at Laodicea and Nymphas and the church that is in his house. So Nymphas is the guy in Laodicea, and the church is at his house. So the thing is that the early church, there's a lot of people that would, that's what they would do, is they would meet in the house. Now, the importance of coming together in a smaller fellowship is so that we get to know each other more, right? Because think of it, it's hard to love somebody that you don't know. If you're with the people on the street, for instance, it's there, you can love them, but there's only a certain degree of intimacy and things that you can do with them that in regards to like prayer and it's all more in the lines of if they're not saved, praying for salvation and just directing them in the gospel. But if they are saved, there is a little bit of fellowship that can happen there. But the thing is that Home Fellowship is going to be a moment where we could practice loving one another. All right. So it is a spot that is designed for the growth and the expression of our faith and our trust in the Lord. So Anyway, in regards to doing this, some of the responsibilities that we practice in home fellowships are come together is that we pray. We will pray together. And by doing that, we get to know each other's needs so we can best minister to one another. Because there's going to be, even in points here, especially when you get bigger and bigger, you're not going to be saying, oh, hey, this is what I need. This is what's going on in my life to just about anybody, right? So the thing is that there's going to be needs that are brought up. You know, we'll have needs in our home fellowship. We already have needs in our home fellowship that I'm aware of. So that we'll be praying for people in those things. But yeah, praying is one of the key things, one of the key ingredients in home fellowship that we will be exercising. There is the preparation. You know, you'll be listening to the message and going over, well, how can I apply this in my life? So there's going to be a bit of preparation. Also, the thing is some of the things that we do is in our home fellowship is that we break bread together, and that's in two ways, right? So there is the physical meal. Sometimes, you know, like I know for us, we end up, people manage to bring some food here and there, and we all eat together. So, and that's part of what we do in our home fellowship, right? So there's the preparation that's involved with that. There is the discussion of the scripture that was taught on the Sunday. So for us on Friday, we will be exercising what we practiced or sharing what we practiced or what we applied in that Sunday's message. So like this Sunday's message will be, what did we apply on Friday? So on Friday we share that, what we were able to apply this week in the message. So there's going to be times for that, right? So there's a moment of discussion. So there's prayer, there's the preparation that you do, there is going to be discussion of how you applied Sunday's message. There is listening to other people as well. So the thing is that when we share what we applied, we can encourage and build up one another and be like, oh, you know, I never thought of applying this portion of scripture that way, right? And we can encourage one another that way. Also, in our application, the natural aspects of needs and ministry. You know, some of the things are ongoing things that are happening that you don't really think about, but as you're communicating what you applied, you can, you know, it'll be brought to the attention of a group of people. Like, oh, you're dealing with a neighbor. Oh, you're dealing with a tenant. Oh, you're dealing with a coworker, something like that. The thing is that then the rest of us can be encouraging that person or praying for them, just in building them up. Our main ministry is to be, you know, we can be praying for one another, right? Also, the other thing is that, again, I kind of led into it a little bit, and that is the breaking of bread. So we actually do communion too during that time. So at that point, it'll be a consistent remembrance of what the Lord has done for us and being encouraged that way. And I forgot to mention one of the bigger things is worship. So worship is also a part of our home fellowship. So each one of us will have a time of worship. So we're worshiping together, we're praying together, we're encouraging and sharing with one another how we applied the message. And then on top of that, we break bread and remember that which Christ has given us and what has done for us. So those are some of the key components that happen in regards to it. And I've got a few scriptures here. This is John 13, verses 34, 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Right? This is a time to be able to practice that, to love one another and encourage one another, to build each other up. It's so important. And the thing is that it's a key point to being able to exercise our faith and trust in the Lord. So the thing I would ask in regards to like home fellowship, if you're not thinking about home fellowship, you really should. It is it's a very simple, easy way to just apply living out God's word and being able to find things that you'll be able to do to love one another. It's in Matthew chapter 12, verse 50. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister, and mother. So this is that point where Jesus was with his disciples, and his actual physical blood mother and brothers were out there and stuff like that. And this was his response to someone saying, "Oh, you know, your family's out there. We are the family of God, and our blood, in a sense that binds us together, is the love for one another." So that's the blood that we have. We have a same father and different parents. So we are brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers to one another. We can encourage and we should have that sort of connection amongst each other. And what better way to practice that than in a small group and taking care of one another, building each other up, spending time breaking bread, fellowshipping, and getting to know each other more closely, more tightly, so that we can actually care for one another and lift each other up. So in doing this, we grow closer to the Lord by serving one another, and by all of us growing closer to the Lord, we grow closer to one another. So it was one of the things that we, you know, one of the things I was encouraged with is in marriage. And that's the one thing I've always started to look at is the fact is that the closer I am to the Lord, right? If you think about it as a pyramid, is you have two points. If you're further from the Lord, you're further apart from anybody else around you. But if you're all coming closer to Jesus, the closer you'll be to one another. So in living out and practicing home fellowship is a good way of doing that. Our home fellowship, we meet on Fridays, and perfect timing. We meet on Fridays, and come and join us. We're at Bob's. If you need to know any more details about where that is exactly, then come in and meet me after service. As of now, I will be going down and teaching my class, the 2 to 3 year olds, and we'll have Doug come up and share.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ed.
Hey, no problem.
All right, some of you know I'm really not a morning person, so I beat the sheets, I made it here. They closed some roads, and there was a lot of crazy traffic, and we're here now. So, I was rushing in, so slightly winded. In previous years, I've done the, here's the mechanistic part of this. And this year, I wanted to shift focus a little bit and discuss the more of the vision / conspiracy that I think home fellowship is, which I do. It's a plot to encourage people to grow, to get you somewhere. So if you look at our website or you listen to our pastor, there's a regular encouragement to be reading ahead. Our upcoming teachings are usually laid out, and you have that liberty easily. You can be reading the Word of God and marinating your life in that, getting that filled into you. And so when you show up and you hear the teaching, you're already familiar with it. You already know what the passage is about, and then you can just pick up the goodness, those leftover scraps. But whoever's up here teaching, functionally, they're bringing you the Word of God if they're doing it right, which is great. And they're giving you a perspective on it, which is also good, but it's finite. It's in that moment. There are jokes about 50-50 messages. They last 50 feet or 50 minutes, whichever comes first. And unfortunately, that's oftentimes a lot of people's church experience. Now, in joining a home fellowship, because the expectation is you are then going to take some time and you're going to look for what it is that God shows you in that teaching, and you're going to take it out into your life and do something with it, and then come together with another group of people where you're going to discuss not only what it did in your life, but also what it did in theirs. So for application in my group, the format I typically pitch, or I've now refined to, is one of what triggered you. So what in that teaching caught your attention? What did you do with it? And if enough time has passed, what came of that? This adds a whole new dimension. So the teacher offers you those two things, you got the word and you've got a perspective, but now we've added time and application. And it helps the word become so much more, not just in general, but in our lives, it gains substance. If you've ever seen My Cousin Vinny, on this thought, I have these flashbacks to the scene where Vinny's talking about the prosecution's case, and he pulls out a playing card and he's going, it's got height, it's got length, it looks like a brick, but it's got no substance. Well, and in many ways, that's what a teaching is it's got some dimension to it, but unless it has legs, unless you actually take it out into the world and do something with it, it's just a moment. It's a thing. So part of the conspiracy there is then to create that depth, to create that substance, and to make it so that the Word of God and these teachings and what we're doing as a community actually does have some weight, has some depth to it, which is beautiful, I think, and fun to watch. And since you're doing it as a part of a group, you get to see that process occur in other people. So it's not just your brick, now it's a whole group of bricks. And it's we do 6 months of InReach, so there's this ongoing habit where all these bricks are getting made, and it really does build a community. On the community front, if you look at look on our website about the founding of this particular fellowship and the visions for it and all these things, one of the lines that always stands out for me is that we are to be a body of believers actually living it. Like that is a primary vision as far as Calvary Chapel St. Paul goes, is we're supposed to be a body that comes together and actually does it. It's not we get to watch the pastor do all the work, but it's that we get to participate, we get to be involved in each other's lives. And as the church gets larger, it's hard to do that. And so one of the beautiful things about home fellowship is you get to maintain that small group exposure, that smaller community. While we can still grow as a larger body, you can still have that intimacy and that closeness. And then the encouragement, every year or 2 years or whatever, you switch groups. So you get exposed to different people. So it actually builds the community as a whole. In so many ways, I think home fellowship really is meant to be the backbone of our church. It's a communication network. It's a structure of support. We get to come alongside each other. We get to be we get to be in each other's lives. And so if you have problems around here, Chick makes cracks about this somewhat regularly, one of the first questions you're going to be asked if you go to him and say, hey, I've got this problem, the sky is falling or whatever, have you talked to your home fellowship? And that's there for a reason. It's because if you're a part of that, you already have a group that's committed to time with you. They should know where you're at, because again, if you're doing application like I talked about, where it's, this is what it's doing with me, this is what I've done with it, here's how it's affected my life, they should already know what's going on in your life. So that should be an easy group to be able to engage with, to get help or to seek encouragement or prayer or whatever. you know, it's a marvelous thing. And week in and week out, getting to watch other people learn and grow and develop, well, even if you're in a somewhat stagnant place, you know, what is the line? Rising waters lift all boats, or, you know, like you get swept up in the current. There's a, you know, if you're around movement, movement will occur for you. And, you know, one of those funny facts, it only takes an inch of actively flowing water to lift and move a car. Like, it can be amazing what can be done if you just choose to put yourself into a situation where you can be carried along and you can participate in that. So there's an intended structure, there's a desire there, which I think is beautiful. And there's a kind of vision in that, which I think if we don't have that, if we don't know that, it's what we're signing up for, that's what we're looking at. It was a verse, I meant to look it up, but I didn't. It says, my people die for lack of vision. Like, you may think, oh, that's cute, they're gonna have a small group and, you know, whatever, and kind of blow that off. But this really is a significant thing where we get to come together and we get to support and encourage each other. And through that process, you know, because there's that commitment, because there's that time in, you really get to see people engage. Last season, my group ranged from about 17 years old to about 80 in a relatively even distribution. And I got to watch people who didn't even necessarily like each other going into it grow to view each other as family. It's a beautiful process that allows everybody to come together. Also, you know, Chicks talked recently about how it's not about rehashing the message and it's not about, you know, whatever else. But one of the cool things about trying to have a small group where we're coming together, if you imagine taking a group to a movie theater and everybody watches a different movie, and then you go out to dinner afterwards and you're trying to discuss what you saw, that's really hard. Right? Everybody has completely different interests, and they're not watching the same thing. So now in order to share anything from it, you have to give all the context. So it's a whole dramatic thing. But by making it about the Sunday message, we've centralized it to a common experience where we all can come together on at least the same reference and share that, which really simplifies bridging those gaps. So again, you know, 17 to 80, that's pretty significant. I did the math at one point. I figured we had over 600 years of life experience in that room, which, you know, can be kind of a shocking thought, but it's significant. And to watch that full range and everybody come together in that, it really is beautiful. But it is kind of a trick. If you show up and you keep trying and you keep watching it happen and you're open to being swept away in that, then you should grow. And it should be fellowship and it should be very conversational and engaging, which is, you know, fantastic. But it's also, again, there's that support network and that system which really builds up the body and, you know, helps us be more than what we are. On a somewhat related point, the vision is to get to 17 home fellowships in the city of St. Paul and then keep spreading. But the focus on St. Paul there is to get a centralized network that's established. So if the zombie apocalypse happens or whatever else, you know, Chicks mentioned he can bike to all of the, you know, all 17 areas of St. Paul. But it sets up a core that can then keep spreading. And, you know, we have 4 home fellowships starting out this season. We have 2 more starting up, expected to be starting up midway. If all the home fellowship leaders were also to raise somebody else up for next year, we could easily be at 10 or more. The year after that, we could be spreading outside of St. Paul. So some people have expressed a complaint in the past, like, whenever the church is going to reach where I'm at. Like, I have no control over where you're at, but we're not that far off if people will choose to engage and step up in that. So if you have any interest in getting a clearer view of how all of this works, or have any interest in supporting this as a general ministry, I would encourage you not just to join a home fellowship, but to go to whatever leader you decide to stick yourself under and ask them to let you assist them and learn how more of this works to help support that, so this can grow, because changes lives, it makes a difference, and it's personal. The other fun side note in all of this is, in the relatively few churches that actually do implement a good network of home fellowships, the pastor tends to have a very minimal counseling load. Like, if you're in an environment where you're already engaged with people and you're working through stuff and you're on a forward march, so growth is occurring, and a lot of the other craziness that tends to blow up our lives tends to get dealt with. Like, things get simpler. So it's natural and it's organic and it's community. And it really just helps, like, everything grow in wonderful ways if you're willing to participate in that. If not, your loss. I guess our loss, too, because really you're depriving the body of your presence and your involvement and the perspective that you would bring, because God can speak through any of us. He uses me. Certainly he can use any of you. So, but I'm Doug. My group meets Wednesday nights at the Armstrongs. I can tell you where that is if you're interested. I think my current count is at about 10, give or take, so there's a few slots left if you're looking. We'd be excited to see who shows up. It should be interesting. With that, I think Jim's going to come take the mic from me, so, and I will stand here until he gets here and make noise so that it doesn't seem like dead air. We're not on the radio anymore, so it doesn't matter, but,
Thanks, Doug. I wanted to speak to the people who either haven't been to a home fellowship before or have been and are thinking, you know what, it's time for me to have a break. There's a lot going on in my life right now, and I just need to have this time to catch up on some things, and I'm not going to do a home fellowship this year. Look, it's Jesus freed you from the law, so no one's here to say that you're no longer a member of Calvary Chapel St. Paul or the body of Christ if you're not going to do a home fellowship. But as Doug was saying, it really does form the backbone of what we're here for. I had a conversation with someone years ago who I was telling them, they were relatively new coming here, and I was telling them about home fellowship and what we did, and this person was like, oh, I remember, I heard about this from someone else. Yeah, this is where you get together and you talk about your feelings for an hour. Yeah, I'm not interested. Now, if I had to sit there and listen to Doug talk about his feelings for an hour, I might not consider going either. He's only got about 30 seconds worth of feelings in him, so it's not going to happen. But that's like a caricature. That's like a parody of what we're actually doing here. All we're trying to do is Acts chapter 2, verse 42, if you turn with me, to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. So you might remember from reading Acts chapter 2 in the past, Peter is just given this sermon, this preaching of the gospel after the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And he's out there saying, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then in verse 42, what does it say happen? In verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. So this is sort of step one in the creation of the church. So this is foundational. But how is this not just getting together and talking about feelings? Well, one of the things I've been actively encouraged to make sure people don't do when they come to home fellowship is to just talk about their feelings. Because honestly, we will pray for you, but that's a misuse of the time for home fellowship. What are we actually trying to do? We're trying to encourage each other. We're trying to embolden each other. We're helping each other train for our daily walks with Jesus. And we're engaged in healing each other, right? So, you know, I've had people come to home fellowship and they didn't quite get it. And they would start talking about one of two things. One, everything that's gone wrong with them for the last 6 months, right? And they just get rolling. And two, what did they think the scripture that we taught on Sunday really meant? And so those are two things that we're trying to get away from. Because honestly, and that kind of thing, you can have those conversations at other times when you're just hanging out with people. But when we're coming together, we're trying to say, well, that's great that you think this or think that about the scripture, but like, what did you actually do with that? And again, it's not just exactly what Chick said and that's it on Sunday morning. It's, hey, if you're listening to this scripture being read up here and the Holy Spirit pricks your heart about some particular thing that's going on in your life, like, do that. Follow the word in whatever way the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you personally about this. And then come to home fellowship and share. This is what I did. Well, gosh, it feels like homework. Like, do I really want more things to do in my life? I'm already super busy. This is not like homework. Let me reframe that for you. And I think Ed kind of alluded to this earlier too. This is more like weight training. This is more like exercise. Okay? You are doing something that you may not be able to remember that favorite time you went to home fellowship or that favorite sermon you had, but because you're doing this week in and week out, you are exercising your faith. It's like, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. You are working out your salvation with fear and trembling, like the scripture encourages. But if you go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, oh, that's 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. If you're interested in staying healthy at all, and you're going to the gym, you're watching what you eat, you're profiting yourself in the way that you're going to be able to feel and move and do things in the future on a physical level. But here, you're not only improving oftentimes the way your physical life goes, right? Stress and dealing with maybe sins or problems in your life that are buried deep that you're not revealing to other people, you're not confessing. But then you're also working on just that spiritual walk. And if you've ever gone to a gym before, you know you'll work out harder when there are other people around you working out, as opposed to doing it by yourself. I went to this gym once, maybe 10 years ago. Somebody here got me excited about going to this particular kind of gym. And they were like, you know, this is where I go, this is what I do. And I said, that sounds cool. I want to do that, but I can't drive as far out to where you are. Let me see if I can find one around me. And I found one. And I went there thinking, like, this is going to be great. This is my kind of like first steps to getting healthier. And I got there and nobody was working out at all. And I was like, you know, whatever. They had canceled the class because they were, so I get there and they're all on this like, these like little futons that they had like scooted around the middle of the room. And they've got this projector beaming this TV image onto the wall and they're all watching. And what it is it's a tournament. It's like a regional tournament where they've got like three out of the, I don't know, 15 or 20 people there are from that gym competing. And they're all watching them and cheering them on through the screen. And I was like, wow, these guys are like really into it. Okay. So I get there the next day and, you know, they sort of give you, this is what we're going to do today. You know, they explain it and they're like, this is how to scale down in case you can't keep up with us. And I'm like, whatever, I'm going to totally keep up with you guys. And they start, and gosh, like I remember before I was done with the first exercise, people were already like, you know, tapping out and they were done, right? And this was like a 20-minute exercise. And I'm like, how am I only done? How am I not even done with the first like set of reps? Because these people were working on a completely different level, right? And that's the way it is here in the body of Christ. There are some people you just have no idea how much it's going to help you to come alongside them and be walking your walk with Jesus. And every week checking in with these people. And I've gone to home fellowship before and been like, you know, I'm just thinking about my own things that have gone on this week. And then I get there and I hear what other people are going through and how they're conquering those issues. And I'm like, wow, like I need to be more like that. It's emboldening to hear other people talk about their own walks and how they're having victory or how maybe they're struggling and you need to come alongside them and pray with them. That kind of thing is emboldening. It's like Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. We're coming alongside each other, and we're running this race together, and we're all pace setters for each other. And then, you know, I think about that confession of sin as well. This is kind of a, this is another thing I think that can hold people back, even though they may not say it. You mean I'm gonna have to go somewhere and be like confessing the sins in my life to a bunch of other people? Maybe I don't know them that well. James chapter 5. Verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We're commanded in Scripture. You know, it also says in Proverbs 28:13. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read this one because I don't have it memorized. Proverbs 28, verse 13. It says, "He that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy." We all struggle with sin, right? And we're going to be doing that until we go home to be with the Lord. And the Bible says, if you want to be healed, confess those things. And it says here, he that covers his sin shall not prosper. I think of that very first time that fellowship was broken in the whole Bible. When was that? Genesis chapter 3. If you go there and you read the story of how Adam and Eve fell, what was the very next thing they do? I mean, they realized they were naked, right? And that's like a physical way of describing something that was going on deep inside them, right? They knew they were sinners and that it was out there in the open. And so instinctively, they seek to cover themselves. And what happens next? They go and they hide amongst the trees in the garden. See, I'm coming to church, right? I'm living out in the light. I'm in the open. But seeking to cover your sins. And God's walking through the garden and he says, I mean, he knows where Adam is. but it's rhetorical. Adam, where are you? He comes out and he confesses, right? And that's when the healing can begin, when he's stepped out from behind the tree and confesses his sins. So this is a scriptural command. Home fellowship is an easy and a safe way to do that. And you're not getting up here and you're talking to the whole church about it, but you're coming together with, you know, a dozen or so other people that care about you, that want to have the same walk with Jesus that you're seeking to have. And those people are actually thinking about you, praying about your problems, your sins, and following up, the scariest part of all, actually following up with you maybe next week. Hey, how's that going? Oh, you followed up with me, you know. But then it's spurring you on to actually deal with those sin issues that keep coming up in your life. Our home fellowship is going to meet on Wednesdays. So starting this week here, this Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and it's at our place, which is in this neighborhood. So you already know how to get here. You're just a few blocks away. But yeah, 7 o'clock, and I'm going to pass it over to Johnny B to close us out.
So we've heard the structural content of what home fellowship is. We've had the exhortation of getting into home fellowship. We had the practical application of what home fellowship is inside of our life. I want to bring it back into the effect of home fellowship with us. I'm going to start it out with just a reminder of one man's story, Job. Now, we know the outcome of Job, but the focus that we're going to start it in with is the beginning. I'm going to read in Job 1, starting at 1. It says, "There was a man in the country of Uz named Job. He was a man of complete integrity. He feared God and turned away from evil." He feared God and turned away from evil. Now, to put in remembrance, the backstory of Job is, this is before the patriarchs. This is before there was the revelation of the direct commandments of how to walk with God from God. Now, there had to have been some type of a knowledge base that continued to get passed down, because we had who God was that was already in place. And that's, we had Enoch who walked with God and was taken. We had the description that is described that they had that knowledge of who this Holy One was, but Job was one who was able to continue to maintain a walk with God. And verse 2 continues, it says, "He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. His estate included 7,000 sheep and goats and 3,000 camels, 5,000 yokes of oxen, 5,000 female donkeys, and a very large number of servants. Job was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to take turns having banquets in their home. They would send an invitation to their sisters, and they would eat and drink with them. Whenever a round of banqueting was over, Job would send his children to purify them, raising early in the morning to offer burnt offering, for all of them. For Job thought, perhaps my children have sinned, having cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular practice." This was a man who had a regular practice of walking with God and looking after the spiritual care of his family, of his home, of the home fellowship that he brought inside, of each of them, areas that they would go by. Now, who all was involved in these banquets? We know it was their family. We know it was people as intimately with them. And in much the same way That's what it's like with us at Home Fellowship. We are intimately involved in one another's lives. We are there to be able to build and to strengthen one another. We are there to be able to encourage one another. Just as we've heard, it's spoken just so well when Jim was talking about the why we do and the exercise of the faith that we have and the strengthening that we continue to go through to be able to have a life strengthened in Him. Now, we know the outcome of Job. He was tried, he was tested, he was destroyed, and much like our lives, we can feel that tying, that testing, that destruction of what's going to happen. And this story coming about before the patriarchs, I look at it in reflection of what and where we're at now in the church, what and where we're at now in our life as believers. And I stand firm in believing that Jesus is coming back very soon. And it could be this year, it could be next year, it could be less than 4 years from now. I personally don't believe it's going to be going past 4, 6, 8 years. I personally have got that conviction that Jesus is coming back very soon. And what are we doing with our life for that? I'm going to go into the reflection of the end of the scripture, the book of Revelation, where the description of the church is brought out into the different lives of the believers. And now there's going to be a whole background of going into the seven letters of the seven churches, and there's a lot of incredible stuff to study through that one. But I'm going to just focus in on not the historical background of the church in whole leading up to now, but the spiritual condition of each of us as lives and as us being believers and the life that we're at and where we are standing in our relationship with God. Before I continue, if I can get a little bit of a time check, when does this end? Because I got about 30 minutes. It ends in 5? All right, so I got... So I've got 5 minutes, so be prepared for 15. All right, so the Church of Ephesus, Jesus says, "But I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first." To the church of Smyrna, he says, "Don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer. Look, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison and test you. And you will experience afflictions for 10 days. Be faithful to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life." To the church of Pergama, Jesus writes, "I know where you live, where Satan's throne is, yet you are holding on to my name and did not deny your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who has put to death among you, where Satan lives. But I have a few things against you. You have some who have hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to place a stumbling block in front of the Israelites, to eat meat sacrificed to idols and commit sexual immorality." To the church of Thyatira, "I know your works, your love, faithfulness, service, endurance. I know that your last works are greater than your first. But I have this against you. You have tolerated the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and teaches and deceives my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat meat sacrificed to idols." To the church of Sardis, "Write to the angel of the church of Sardis, thus says the one who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Be alert and strengthened that what remains, which is about to die, for I have not found your works complete before my God. To the Church of Philadelphia. Because you have kept my commandments and endured, I will also keep you from the hour of testing that is going to come on the whole world to test those who live on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one takes your crown. And to the Church of Laodicea, write to the angel of the Church of Laodicea. Thus says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the originator of God's creation. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot, but you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold. I am going to vomit you out. When our life becomes destroyed, when our life becomes ruined, when our life becomes challenged, home fellowship is going to be a cornerstone that we have as a believer. It's going to be a place that when we are triumphant, when we are strong, when we are holding steadfast to the Word of God, it's a place that we get to go to encourage those that are struggling a little bit, that are down a little bit, that are being tested, that are being shown. And just as the book of Job reaccounts that man who was upright and strong and was willing to be there for his family, to want to pray and to intercede for them, and he was not willing to curse the name of God. He was not willing to blame God for the circumstances that are around him. It's the same thing that we need to have. We need to have that strong mentality that it's not God who's doing anything to us, but what are we doing in this life despite what is happening? And which church of those books of the seven letters do represent you today? Could be different than the church that represents you tomorrow or the next day, because those are real life encouragements to the churches that we're going on, and it's a continual look into that heart of the believer and to see where is that we stand. So, want to encourage you, be involved in a home fellowship. Be involved in one of those home groups that we can come together, we can strengthen one another up, that's in whatever is going to happen over the course of this next year and the season of home fellowship, you've got a core group of believers to be able to lean into, to be able to be strengthened with. My home fellowship, we do meet Monday nights. We are in the east side of St. Paul. To get more details, just come up and ask. Come up and have a conversation. We'll chat about it, talk more about when it is and where we're going to be getting started. But just want to leave you with that encouragement that Jesus is coming back. What are we doing about that? Get involved. Get involved with each other's lives. Get involved in the ministries of your local church. If you're involved in parachurch organizations, continue to be involved in parachurch organizations, but don't let that substitute the local body of Christ that he's called you to. Yes, I will pray you out. I will not leave that into some funny, sarcastic remark. Lord Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to come together to be reminded of what home fellowships are, to be reminded of why we need to be involved in each other's lives and the responsibility that we have to one another, because we are our brother's keeper. We are the one that we rejoice with one another. We cry with one another. Lord, we need to be vulnerable to one another and open and honest and transparent with another. So, Lord, I thank you for this body, Lord, of of open, honest, transparent, and sinful people that I get an opportunity to be able to fellowship with each and every week. Amen.